Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Free Psychic Readings, held every Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And this is your host, Lennis, and my co-host, Brenda, will probably be in shortly. Nina is in the chat room, our moderator, that will be answering your questions or, forwarding them on to me. Excuse me, I guess I got tongue-tied. Anyway, and that phone number is area code 646-727-2914. That's area code 646-727-2914, and you are joining us on Free Psychic Readings Wednesday. So I decided to do something a little bit different today as people will be getting ready to call in. I'm going to talk about rightness and wrongness and also just a little bit about fear. Okay, I don't know, this was just on my mind, and this is also, let me give credit for this, is out of Conversations with God, Book 1, by Neil Donald Walsh. And I would advise everybody, if you want to get an understanding of spirituality and who God is, have an open mind, I would advise you, it's a series, Books 1, 2, and 3, and the fourth book is Friendship with God. So this is what I'm going to be reading out of Conversations with God, Book 1 by Neil Donald Walsh. So he asks a question about right and wrong. A thing, God answers him, a thing is only right or wrong because you say it is. A thing is not right or wrong intrinsically. Neil asks him, why isn't it? Rightness or wrongness is not an intrinsic condition. It is a subjective judgment in a personal value system. By your subjective judgments, do you create yourself? By your personal values, do you determine and demonstrate who you are? The world exists exactly as it is so that you may make these judgments. If the world existed in perfect conditions, your life process of self-creation would be terminated. It would end. A lawyer's career would end. Tomorrow there would be no more litigation. A doctor's career would end. Tomorrow there would be no more illness. A philosopher's career could end because tomorrow there would be no more questions. And God's career would end tomorrow. Were there no more problems? Precisely. God says, you have put it perfectly. We, all of us, would be through creating were there nothing more to create. We, all of us, have a vested interest in keeping the game going. Much as we all say we would like to solve all the problems, we dare not solve all the problems, or there would be nothing left for us to do. Your industrial military complex understands this quite well. That is why it opposes mightily any attempt to install a war no more government anywhere. Your medical establishment understands this too. This is why it staunchly opposes, it has to for its own survival, any new miracle drug or cure, to say nothing of the possibilities of miracles themselves. Your religious community also holds this clarity, that which is why it attacks uniformly any definition of God which does not include fear, judgment, and retribution and any definition of self which does not include their own idea of the only path to God. So I wanted to speak a little bit about this because I think Brenda even might have mentioned it a few days ago, but sometimes I think we as humans, and not only from reading through this book, we operate on fear. And there really is nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's kind of a cliche, but it's true. Things happen in our lives, good or bad, but to understand that everything is perfect, I know it's to be spiritual, but understand that everything happens for the good. Now, we may not always understand that because God knows, I'm sure it's been times not only in my life, but I'm sure in the listening audience, some of you, that you're like, you know, what the hell? What? You know? But in the end, it works out for the best, whatever that was supposed to happen. Let's see, what else can I say as something where we get fearful? I'm trying to give an example. Let me check with Nina. Nina, do you have anything that you know of, like in that perspective, that you fear, but everything is going to be all right? And I guess she's away. So anyway, but as it says, I will do nothing for you that you will not do for yourself. This is the law and the prophets. The world is in the condition it is because of you and the choices that you have made, or choices we have failed to make. Not to decide is to decide. The earth is in the shape it is because of you and the choices you have made or failed to make. Your own life is the way it is because of you and the choices that you have made or failed to make. Now, to me, that sometimes we need to go forward and we don't. It, like he says, we have choices, but if we don't go forward, it's because we made the choice not to. So you have a choice either way, but it could be a failed choice because maybe you should have moved forward instead of being stuck. But you decided maybe to stay in the fear mode or in that complex mode. So so now we're going to get up to discuss a little bit about fear. So what you most fear is what will plague you. Fear will draw it to you like a magnet. All your holy scriptures or even religious persuasions and traditions which you have created contain the clear admonition, fear not. Do you think this is by accident? The laws are very simple. Thought is creative. Fear attracts like energy. Love is all there is. Love is the ultimate reality. It is the only reality, the all, the feelings of love in your experience of God. And highest truth, love is all there is, all there was, and all there ever will be. When you move into the absolute, you move into love. Well, also, I just want to throw this in, as Brenda said, a caveat. On Saturday, we have the show Time to Love, and Lydia definitely is passionate and dedicates her life not only being on the show to love, learning to love yourself and love the things around you, and also on the Monday night show, for the listening audience, if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, please do. It's the L&B Empowerment Show to make you think about yourself and bring you out what's within you, your essence, who you're about and where you're going, and understanding certain things about yourself. And that also is done out of love. So I would tell you also to listen to those two shows about love. But I want to get back to this. What you most fear is what will most plague you. Fear will draw it to you like a magnet. Now, for me, that's kind of hard to understand at first, not now, because I'm thinking that I don't like spiders. I don't need a spider to I don't need a spider to come to me. It's just, hey, I have a fear of spiders. If I see one, I'm going to kill the mofo. That's just how it is. It's either me or him, and it looks like him going. Another fear, I don't know how you would classify this, if an animal runs out in the street while you're driving, and Lord knows, nobody hopefully doesn't want to hit an animal, but if it's between me not messing up my car or hitting an animal, I got to look at it economically. Sorry, the animal's going to go. I'm driving a $20,000 SUV. The animal, well, you know, God bless you, but so that fear is not attracting, it's not a creative, but it's not attracting love. But I guess the love is that, hey, maybe that particular animal was tired of living. Because sometimes when you're driving and, you know, you're going at a pretty good click there and something runs out in front of you, how fast are you going to stop even hitting your brakes? So sometimes things happen, such as life. But anyway, those are thoughts to think about. And also, I want you folks to think about there are no coincidences in the universe. Everything happens was supposed to happen. And on the, okay, oh, here's something. Thoughts that are rooted in fear will produce one kind of manifestation on the physical plane. Thoughts rooted in love will produce another. Isn't that something? So I guess as what you fear of, then maybe you should love it. That it, and then if you put love into it, then it doesn't become a fear anymore, and then it doesn't become a problem for you. Now I'll tell you one thing that I've done through love and not necessarily fear. When I'm in a lot of traffic and I don't really particularly care for a lot of traffic, I have learned to turn that around with love. And I will say, and I showed this to my daughter too and a couple of friends, And instead of becoming enraged, go, I love this traffic. I love this traffic. I love this traffic. And I'm telling you, this is no lie. This is the God's truth. Traffic will open up and you're gone. Now, it's not, it could be somebody turning to the left. It could be somebody turning to the right. All of a sudden, there's an opening and poof, you're out of there. But it works. It may sound crazy, but I'm telling you, it does work. If you say, I love this. And so I've learned that in some things that I fear, if I do turn reverse that around and say that I love it, then it is no longer a fear and it's not a challenge to me, and it's okay. And I just have to remember that there are no coincidences in this universe. So everything does happen for a reason and a cliche for a season. So remember, with fear, the laws are simple. Thought is creative. Fear attracts like energy, and love is all that there is. So don't be attracting the energy of fear. Attract the energy of love in all that you do. And I do believe you will be so blessed. And we've got Brenda on board with us. Good evening, Miss Brenda.
How are you? Hi, everyone.
Were you asleep?
No, I had to raise my dog. He has emotional issues.
Uh-oh. Poor Tyler. We'll have to pray for him. Little Tyler. Anyway,
pray for me, too, while you're at it.
Okay. And pray for you, too. I'm just going through a few things out of book one on the Conversations of God with God by Neil Donald Walsh. Okay. So that's what I started off about rightness and wrongness and kind of blended that into fear. So now I want to talk a little bit about emotion. Emotion is a power which attracts. That which you fear strongly, you will experience. Should I say that again? Emotion is the power which attracts. That which you fear strongly, you will experience. An animal which you consider a lower form of life, even though animals act with more integrity and greater consistency than humans, knows immediately if you are afraid of it. Plants which you consider or even lower form of life respond to people who love them far better than to those who couldn't care less. Now, I have to question this because I have plants and I don't have a green thumb like my mom did. And I've talked to my plants and told them I loved them and feed them and water them, give them sun, and they still with dogs. So I don't know. But I do pretty good with my vegetables. So maybe it's just the houseplants. But I'm not, I don't know. I try. I talk to them and try and treat them like they're a being, you know. But I don't know. They don't do good for me. Maybe I need to find out certain plants.
Well, you keep stating that, so you're making it so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, huh? What it just said, yeah. That which
yeah.
you fear strongly, you will experience. So if I fear that I'm not a good person with plants, then I won't be. That's what I'll experience. So you're right. So I just say I need to be better, just to be better at it.
Yeah, why not, you know, say to your plant, like, I know you can, come on, grow with me, whatever. I got some of my mama in me. I got some of my mama's DNA, so... I want you to grow and be healthy, so I'm praying for you. I'm sending you my love, and let's just let's keep growing together. There's all kinds of things you could do, but when you have it already in your mindset, it's, you know, whether you say it as fear or whatever it is that you concentrate on or that you state as a truth in your life, that's exactly so.
And that phone number is area code 646-727-2914. You're on the air with Free Psychic Readings with Linus and Brenda. That's 646-727-2914. The chat room is open, folks. Nina is in there. She's the moderator, and she will be more than glad to answer your questions or either forward them on to us. So please use the chat room. I know sometimes people are shy about being on the air, and that's okay. We all have our different shyness. But Nina's real good, and she's also a Reiki master, so you might want to ask the question of her if you're having some healing difficulty. Okay, well, I want to talk now about emotion. Emotion is an energy in motion. When you move energy, you create effect. If you move enough energy, you create matter. Matter is energy conglomerated. Move it around, shove together. If you manipulate energy long enough in a certain way, you get matter. Every master understands this law. It is the alchemy of the universe. It is the secret of all life. Thought is pure energy. I believe that. Even thoughts you have every thought you have ever had and every thought you have ever had and will have is creative. The energy of your thought never ever dies, ever. It leaves your being and heads out into the universe, extending forever. A thought is forever. All thoughts are congealed. All thoughts meet with other thoughts, crisscrossing in an incredible maze of energy, forming an ever-changing pattern of unspeakable beauty and unbelievable complexity. So.
Wow. That's what Neil wrote.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I can definitely believe that thought is pure energy, because if you think about something, you know, Brenda, like you said, it's like a meditation. If you keep thinking about it, you will bring it into being. And I have done that. If I've thought about something, and knowing, that's another subject. But anyway, you know that you know that you know, so to speak, that when you put that thought out there and say, you know what, I know this is going to happen Friday, boom, it's going to happen. You don't even put any more into it. It's like getting up or going to the bathroom. You know that you know that you know. So when you put the thought out there of energy, make sure that it's a good thought, it's a powerful thought, but that energy is going to hit the place that it's going to go, wherever that you send that energy to, whether it's healing, good thoughts, or even just sending happiness, joy, good luck
right.
to someone else that they get blessed, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Those are good books. You definitely need to really read it and think about everything. I think
yes.
I read the first two a couple of times. I never did read three. Hello? Hello? Okay, then.
Okay, I'm here.
What happened?
Secret. My headset fell out. Go ahead,
okay.
I hear you now.
Okay.
I hear you now. But, yeah, getting back to that, but yes, I love the thought, what is it, thought, word, and actions. What's the three I'm trying to think? It's thought.
To manifest something?
Thought, action, and love. Yeah, you think it, and then you put it out there. I think of something before a thought. Maybe you manifest it, thought, then action, something like that. I'm not saying it correctly.
From the information I've gotten from all places is you see it, you vision it, and you hold it in your mind, you focus on it. You feel it, you experience it, you actually allow yourself to feel it as if you're there, you're doing it, and you live it as if you're living it now. And it just makes it so. Because your subconscious mind has no idea what's reality and what's not reality. It literally takes off and does things as you tell yourself they are. And the more you focus on it and you think about it and you envision it, and especially if you back it up with your sensations in your body, like, yes, I'm this, I am this, then your subconscious mind just starts putting all that into action, and the energy starts flowing your direction. The universe is just waiting for you to decide what it is that you're choosing to be.
That's true. We just have to put, oh, geez. I'm sorry, everybody. You know what? I just realized I usually start the program with some prayers, and I didn't. Let me take a minute and do that right quick. That which is sent to me that is not for my highest good, be returned to the sender, and I will say the prayer correctly, as for all of us. That which is sent to us that is not for our highest good, be it returned to the sender. And so it is. Thank you, love. Okay. Love provides me every day with financial abundance. For God, angels, and miracles are my shepherds. We shall not want. The desires of our life are fulfilled, and we have no worries. Thank you, love. So be it. It is already done. We have the money. Thank you.
We have the money.
Yeah, we have the money. Thank you. Love, we let go of the past and remember only the good. We are strong and we use our power wisely. We are free to love and enjoy our lives. So be it. Thank you, love. Dear God, miracles and angels, enlighten what's dark in us. Strengthen what's weak in us. Mend what's broken in us. Bind what's bruised in us. Heal what's sick in us. And lastly, revive whatever peace and love that has died within us. Thank you, love, and so be it. Okay. Now, we're back to the show. I got to tell you this, Brendan, when I was going through the books last night, because I had all four of the Conversations of God out, I ran across something, and I thought, wow, this is really interesting, that when an author writes a book, you should write it to yourself. And that way you are sharing your love. You tell the story sharing your love. And I thought, write it to myself. So I read a little bit more, and it is. And I thought, well, you know, that's really interesting to look at like that. What do you think, Brenda, now that you're an author?
Okay, give me that question one more time.
Okay, what do you think, when I was reading last night, I came across something about
an author writing book and say that you write, when you write a book, you're writing the book to yourself. Even though you're putting it out to the public, but you're actually writing the book to yourself. You're telling yourself the story.
I think some writers do that.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting way.
Yeah, it is a good way of thinking, and I think that is the way some writers think. And I think that it's probably the best way to think in terms of producing your work. If you're trying to produce your work for someone else, you're probably going to have a lot of hitches because it won't likely flow as well. But if you're writing something for yourself, just for yourself, that may have some issues as well, because then you could sound like those people like, well, I like it. Well, okay, but if you want it to be read by more than yourself, you might want to consider a few other things, like, you know, how you voice it. But I don't know. I mean, when you write, are you writing for yourself, or are you expressing something that's coming from somewhere else? I, to be perfectly honest, tend to write from exploration. I'm a real scientist, really, quite honestly. I know I'm an artist. And I know, like, psychology is in my background, but I really write to explore things like I would any other experiment. And it usually leads me to different conclusions than I might have had, and leads me to research areas that I don't know a lot about. So... It's a real scholarship for me. Even if I'm writing a love poem, I look at what it would be like if somebody loves somebody. For instance, here would be a poem I might write. If somebody really loves somebody, just adored them and thought everything of them, but their feet, the person's feet gave them the creeps. You know, it just for some reason I come up with a poem like that. Or I would explore that. That's the way my mind works. What if?
Well,
that's what's always going on in my mind. Do you write for yourself?
Sometimes. You know what, Brenda? Sometimes I do. But I never thought about it in a perspective like that when writing a book. But I said if I wrote it to myself, I'm writing actually because I want other people to enjoy it, of course. But then if I'm writing to myself, this is what I want to read and this is what I'm enjoying, I was just thinking, you know, that's a pretty good perspective because how I enjoy a book, of course, may not be how you enjoy it, but I'm sure there'll be some other people out there that would enjoy it that way, you know, the way I wrote it. So why not do it, like, as my enjoyment? Well, you know what? That's kind of like love. If I love it the way I'm writing it, then it will be received as love. Hey. I like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you love someone and you love something and you build it up and you just, you know, pretty soon everyone's like, why does she love it so much? Let me try to figure out what's going on with that. People do that.
Yes.
Naturally are drawn to things that we build up. Generally, they aren't drawn to things that we put down. Except some of the sick reality fanatics out there, I guess, but yeah. I mean, I think that there's a little bit of that everywhere, but I there's a lot of different reasons out there, and but mostly I hope that all writers are writing, I think essentially, like you said, Linus, for, you know, because that's something that they choose to write. It's more for self, I guess, than to be
public,
just commercial.
I think that
becomes obvious when somebody's just commercial.
Yeah. You're writing because you love it and you want to hear a story or a poem about this. So you write it, you're writing it for yourself, but then, you know, you also are putting it out there for other people. But I don't know, it just gave me a different kind of one of them aha moments, like, writing it to yourself, okay. You know, sounds good, because I was thinking my poetry. Some of the poems, it's like, yeah, I was addressing some issues that I felt strongly about, So I was writing them for other people to understand, but I was writing it to myself, too, like how I felt about that particular thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And also in fear came across was to reject anything is to deny that it exists. So I repeat that again. To reject anything is to deny its existence. So what do you reject, Brenda?
Well, that's good. And in a lot of ways, if you reject cancer, it's like, you know, it depends on how you reject it. If you pretend like it's not there, that's not quite the same thing. you know, if you know you have some issues going on, you still need to see about them. But
I know what you're saying. You know, like people that have cancer, and I'm one of them. You know,
and
say,
they don't, they're coming back. Yeah. You just like, that's not, well, the way I usually say it is that's not my reality. Even when I'm right on the preface of something, if I start to nod off in the car and I'm near a curve, which, you know, I immediately, you know, jerk myself awake and I think, start thinking the negative, like, oh my gosh, I could go careening over that embankment. I immediately say, stop, that's not my reality, that, cancel that, because otherwise you can sort of get yourself into the mode of being terrored, and next thing you know, you're careening off the daggone embankment. It doesn't take much for a suggestion to rule you, depending on how susceptible you are to other suggestions, whether yourself or other people. Nina's coming on. You have actually.
I can't get in there.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
You have a.
It's okay, Lennis. I've got everything handled so far. Holly actually has a question for you.
Okay.
She's in the chat room with me right now. She wants to know the truth about what happened to her dad. She feels it's very crucial to her ability to move forward in life, and she. Even if you can't see that, maybe you can let her know if he's around her. That she would really like to know that. But she's needing the truth.
Okay. When did her father pass?
Holly?
And also, tell her, give me her dad's name. I'll bring her dad in. But I need his name. And when did he take his wings?
In 1995.
Okay, and her dad's first name?
Just his first name, Holly. Len.
Len?
Yes.
L-E-N, L-Y-N? It doesn't
L-E-N.
Matter, Len.
Len.
Did you go by Lenny?
Okay. As in Leonard.
Leonard,
yeah, but
okay. Okay, so her dad's name is Leonard. That's his given name. What does she want me to ask her dad? Because I'm calling forward. So she needs to be specific.
She wants
what is, go ahead.
She wants to know the truth now. And he did go by Lenny sometimes.
Okay, that's the first thing I got. When you wrote Len, it was like, but I heard, no, it's Lenny.
Okay. And she wants the truth about what, how
what
he
happened
died?
To him.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, give me a second, child. Wow, he's moving his legs so fast. He's running. He must have been a very active person. He's just running. Or did he have a problem with his legs before? Because he's happy about running right now.
Okay. Something was disastrous.
Anything with his legs?
Not with his legs.
Mm. Okay, well, he was running to me, but happy, but running to me, like, just happy, like, if he didn't have good use of his legs before, through diabetes or slow circulation, whatever it is, he's fine now, believe me. On the other side, he's fine. It's like, wow, I can jump, I can run around, whatever. So that's why I was saying he was happy running toward me.
Yeah, Lennis,
so,
you just about had it right. It was a problem with one of his feet. He had surgery on it, and he had trouble walking sometimes.
Okay. Oh, my God, he is cursing. Did your father curse like that? I asked him the question of what happened to him, and he goes, those MFs, those, whoo. Okay, you know you're in heaven, right? All righty then. Don't get angry like that. I see a bat, a long piece of wood, like a 2x4. He got hit in the head and on his body. A gentleman's disagreement. Okay, come on, Leonard. He's so excited. Oh, my God.
They said he could curse up a storm, but obviously he didn't talk like that all the time.
No. Well, he's telling me, but he was angry, but he's trying to show me, too. He's showing me these guys with a 2x4. There's like three men. There's one man that's hitting him with a 2x4. He got hit in the head and looks like on the side, either by his hip or the side of his body that affected his kidneys or his liver. He's saying a gentleman agreement, but he was betrayed. There it is. He's telling me he was betrayed. There's nothing you can do about this now. It's over. It's done with. Things happen for a reason. I know you're hurt. I know there's answers that need to come forth. Baby, I love you. Twinkle, Twinkle Toes, Tiny, Tweenie. It's your nickname. He's saying, I love you. He said, but now it's okay. Don't worry about that. I just want you to think openly. Don't be judgmental. Stop it. Stop being judgmental. You're a beautiful girl. Come on now. Remember me and you? Remember the cup? Come on.
A cup?
It's okay. Come on, Leonard. What else do you want to say? I want you to stop overanalyzing everything. Stop thinking so much. You're okay. You are where you're supposed to be. It's all right. Everything is okay. Don't worry. I'm fine. I'm better now than I was before. Things happen sometime, baby. Don't worry. I'm all right. They will get theirs. One has already. Ooh. Ooh. Ooh, God. He's in me now. One, it has already been taken care of. You call it karma, revenge. We call it his experience. Don't worry. The other two, theirs will come in time. You don't worry. Okay, baby girl, don't worry. Yes, keep the candle lit. I'm always there. Don't ever stop lighting the candle, okay? I see a brass thing that she has a candle into. And he tells her, just light it. He says, light the candle. I'm there. You call me. I'm there with you. I'm happy now. I'm really happy. Call me, and I will come. I will come. Is there anything else she wants to ask him?
Yeah, Lennis, she was told It was suicide. She wants to know, was it suicide or wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't, Holly.
No.
What do you mean she calls all the time?
Well, she calls to him all the time.
Yeah, no.
Who in your life, Holly, was in a wheelchair? Was it one of your grandparents or your dad or your mom? Who in your family was in a wheelchair all the time?
Grandma.
Was it?
No one
that you know about? Is there like family friend or friend of your dad's? Nobody like that?
She didn't meet her. She died before Holly was born.
Who didn't meet her?
Her great-grandmother?
Hmm.
Your great-grandmother? Yeah. Not the recent one. She was in a wheelchair.
She's saying her grandmother was in a wheelchair, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just something keeps coming up about a wheelchair. I don't know what that is.
Yes, your great-grandmother was in a wheelchair.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, Leonard.
Dad's mom,
Leonard,
right?
Disney.
Your dad's mom? Your dad's mom's mom?
Yep.
And she met her when she was 8. She was a diabetic. So the diabetic came up somewhere, Lennis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so maybe that's who's around now. Are you feeling that group? Because I, in the middle of your thing, a wheelchair kept coming up. Like there's someone sitting in a wheelchair somewhere, and it didn't make sense for her dad. So I wasn't sure who the wheelchair is, but there's somebody with a wheelchair. Your grandfather's mother.
Her father tilts his head, and he smiles quirkly, like on the side of his mouth. And she knows about that. He tilts his head and smiles quirkily.
Okay.
What are you doing now? Yeah.
You got people around you, sweetie. Your great grandmother definitely is around. I don't know why she's associating with the wheelchair, but she's not. I don't hear her say anything. But the wheelchair came up, like. So, I all I can say to people when they feel like they're not sensing someone, if you feel like you're trying too hard or you're finding that there's some kind of a block, the best thing that I can say is before you go to sleep, just say, Dad, I really need to talk to you. I need to see you. You know, please come see me tonight. Please. And that's just like, when you're sleeping, there's a lot of barriers that we sort of let go of. So oftentimes it's easier for people to come who have passed on to come and talk to us. So she's a really massive woman and she couldn't walk. That's why she was in a wheelchair. Interesting.
Okay.
So
she had heart or lung problems. Either heart or lung. I think it's his heart, he's telling me.
So was it, he died naturally?
No, he was hit.
No,
he was hit. That's what I told you. It was 3 guys.
Oh.
One is
gone
now.
Oh, you're saying he had these problems at the time.
Leonard said you're Oh, Brenda, Leonard has said, why are you confusing? Stop it. I don't like it.
I won't say anything.
Holly, what else do you want to know? He's telling me. You guys hurry up and talk because Leonard is so strong, his energy is weakening my body.
Okay,
so,
Holly, what else do you want to know from your father? Your dad wants... Once he's asking you, what else do you want to know?
Hmm.
She's, he wants, she says, I want to know if we're okay.
Stop going down to the bowels of your mind and your being. You must understand this, Holly. Stop going to the bowels. That's to the end, to the darkness. Come out of that. That's no good for you, baby girl. No good. Yes, you are okay. You are okay. I'm okay. Everybody is all right. I want you to open your mind and your heart. He's saying, I love you, and I know that you're going to be all right. I just want you to keep the light around you. Think lightly, brightly. He's got, oh, my God, he's got such an aura around him right now.
Ooh. Holly says she loves him, too, and she misses him.
He told her he doesn't miss her. He says, I'm always there. What are you talking about? I'm here with you. I'm here with you, right here. He says, doggone it, girl, what are you doing? He's laughing now. He's happy. Okay, your father's staunch, strict, maybe used to be overbearing. Oh, okay, Leonard. He's very forthcoming. It's like he really wants you to know everything is okay. He wants you to stop going downstairs thinking about thoughts. He wants you to bring your mind up, up to the light as high as you can. Think of the good thoughts. Think of love. We are all okay, and you're okay. Okay. Now, thank you, Leonard. He's saying now that he's going to leave my body because he knows he's draining on me and he's got me shaking. So anyway, thank you, Leonard. I thank you for coming to me to speak to your daughter. God bless you. And now you can go. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with your child through me. So you're welcome, sir.
And Polly is saying thank you, Lennis. Okay,
okay.
Lennis, I'm sending you some Reiki.
Okay.
Strong personality, that one, huh?
Yes. He
See, Holly,
heavy.
That's where you
he
get
was
it
so
from.
Strong. Oh, okay. Ooh, he's got my eyes watering. He was good. He's just a real strong, determined man, you know? But I felt that gentleman's agreement. No, he did not. It was not suicide, believe me. When he was saying gentleman's agreement.
Stubborn, too, and big-headed.
Yeah, well, you know, that was your daddy, honey. That was him. But he felt good. Whatever that bothered his feet, I'm telling you, when I called him to come to me, he was just running. Oh, man, he was running like a child, but it was a happy run, almost like, what's that commercial where the two people are running together to meet one another, you know, and they meet up and they kiss, like they're running through a field and they're coming together? That's how he was coming to me, like, oh, I'm so happy. I'm talking to my daughter. And he's just running to me, like, okay. Yeah. Honey, your father's doing good. And he's there. Like he said, light the candle. And when you light the candle, like Brenda said earlier, just tell him, Dad, would you come? I want to talk to you for a minute. It's that easy. You don't have to do no long prayer, no meditation, none of that. Just say, Dad, would you come? I got a problem, or I need some answers. And do like Brenda said, listen when he comes to you. And I'm going to tell you, when he comes to you, Holly, it's going to be a warm feeling, almost like if somebody was holding you as a child and letting you know that, everything is okay. I'm right here. I got you. I'm holding you. That's going to be the feeling. So you know it's Dad. Because us being in the spirit, we have to discern. Because sometimes it's not always who we think it is. But for you, this is why your father wants you to light the candle. You'll know that this is him and not somebody else. Oh, and yeah, and he's walking away telling me, and don't remember. Remember, the thoughts. The thoughts, Holly. He's walking away. He's walking away, turning around, and he's got a finger at me. I didn't do anything, but he's at me talking about the thoughts. The thoughts, Holly. Okay. He's gone now. Okay. Well, Holly, you're welcome. I was glad to do that for you. It's kind of fun doing that sometimes. It's just that I let them take my body over, and so whatever they're speaking, I just let it come out, whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll get back to the subject at hand. Let's see. We were talking about to reject a thing is to deny that it exists. I had someone tell me once, this was years ago, when I was married and we lived in Kirkland, and this lady told me, she says, you know, you're not, you didn't exist until I met you. And it kind of pissed me off when she said that. I was like, what do you mean I didn't exist? Of course, I'm here. I'm flesh and blood. What do you mean? But it wasn't until later in life, believe me, not at that time or season, but later, I realized until you know it, it does not exist to you. True. Right? Once you know, hear, feel, see, touch, then it does exist. So, but, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that person's idea was that you didn't really exist until they met you in their world.
Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that, though, then, and it wasn't explained to me in that manner. But anyway, we've had a good show today. Got about 5 minutes left, so let's talk about the shows coming up, folks. And, of course, today is Wednesday Psychic Readings, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Tomorrow on Thursday is Filmcology with Brenda, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Brenda's show tomorrow is about?
It's called A Place at the Table, the documentary about hunger in America.
Amen.
Despite the fact that we don't have a shortage of food in America.
Hmm. Hmm.
How it's affecting, actually, probably 50 million people are actually dependent on food charities. Chronically, it's not something that they just do once in a while to get by. It's a weekly thing. So, anyway, that's what it's about, 6 p.m.
Okay. And then on Friday, it's Friday Traffic Jam with Linus, music for a half an hour from 5 to 5:30 Pacific Time. And each week, Linus always brings something interesting, a collage or a special or some new experience. So this Friday, it's going to be the music that goes to her first book, Are You Ready? So she'll be playing that tape. And be sure and tune in the last Friday of May, because that's going to be a special show for Malcolm and Cameron, who are the grandsons of Nina, our host on LNB and also the moderator in the chat room. And so you'll be hearing Eminem and some of them people. Because they're teenagers, so it's for them. So make sure you young folks out there that think we, us old folks, don't know. We know music. So anyway, that'll be a special show for the teenagers. And then Saturday is Time to Love with Lydia that comes on at 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Mountain Time. And her show Saturday is, Relaxation. There you go. Oh, Lord, don't we all need that, huh? And then Sunday is In the Studio with Linus, and that's at 3 p.m. We're going to be having part of the show. There'll be a segment on health, a segment on sports, and then we'll do hot topics. And then coming to Monday at 8 p.m. is LMB Empowerment, and that's 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern. And on Sunday, Nina, what will you be on Monday, what will you be discussing?
Well, the three of us are going to give an impromptu interview and just let our listening audience know a little bit more about us as persons.
Yeah. I love that about your radio personalities. Remember, folks, the Essence of Success Network is an all-women's network. Love it, love it, love it. And then on Tuesday, we have Bring Your Own Brilliance with Brenda, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And, Brenda, what are we going to be discussing next Tuesday?
Acts of kindness. Put it on your calendar.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Whether they're random or not. What it does for your soul and the rest of the world.
All right. Well, my suggestion prior to Brenda's show on Tuesday, do an act of kindness and call in and let her know. Let Brenda know what you did this week or next week, your act of kindness. I'm sure she'd love to hear it. And then we come back to me on Wednesday. Psychic readings. So be sure and join us. And this is, I'll have a big announcement next Wednesday.
Hey, I'd like to know something. You know, if you're not getting the ninth caller in, like, could the last caller or last questioner get that free psychic reading, or is that just not to, I mean, because, you know, or just,
I'm curious,
you know, if I had called in, I'd be like, what the heck, at least I called. Where's my hour?
Well, you know what, in 2 minutes, if somebody calls into the show, they'll get a free reading. You got four
my
minutes.
Number's up
if
there.
You call...
Okay, Nina, like mine too. As a matter of fact, I'm closer to nine because I called in last. I mean, are you going to count the people in the chat room?
Oh, I guess we can. Sure, why not?
Okay, who gets the free psychic reading today? Wait a minute. Let me hang up and call back. We still got like 3 minutes, folks. Come on.
I love that we can laugh.
Yes, Brenda, your psychic reading is benevolent beings are standing around you. And for Nina, your reading is a change is going to come, and it's going to be self-evident by May 31st. So there you go.
And what's coming up for Holly?
Holly, I see you playing a drum. She's going somewhere enjoying herself because she's dancing. So you're going somewhere, Holly, that you're dancing. I see you playing a drum and moving your hips, girl. So that's
playing
good.
A drum.
You're going to have a good
time. Oh.
Like a fair or a community festival. I don't see like a club. Like a
maybe she's just holding
fair.
Something else. Holding something like a drum? Like a recording thing or something?
It. She's playing it and then she goes
she
out.
She says air drum.
Goes out to enjoy. Oh, see? Okay, well.
And she says she doesn't dance, so that's out. Well, Holly, you can tap your feet to the music at least, you know?
No, she'll be moving. She is. Wherever she's going somewhere, she just doesn't know it. And she will be moving. It's not a club. You know, it's like a bunch of people get together. But it's so good. You know, people are dancing around the room and being silly and just enjoying one another. And, yes, you will be dancing, Holly. Having fun with the
maybe it's
of
my
them.
40th anniversary next month, Holly.
Hey. Hey. Alrighty then.
All right. So I guess the answer to that, folks, is you have to be the ninth caller. I know what I'm going to do next week.
Yeah, me too.
Well,
just hang up and keep calling.
That's right.
And I still want to say, too, that, yeah, the ninth caller, that there will be a big announcement, folks, coming up next Friday. On the 30th. I was going to say Wednesday. Well, yeah, it'll be announced on Wednesday and Friday show. There you go. So be sure and listen in and be that ninth caller. I'm not going to be like Brenda and say a caller. Be the ninth caller that calls in and you get a free hour reading.
So maybe what you should do when people call in, say you're caller number one. And if they ask why, it's like, well, the ninth caller gets a free psychic reading. It's worth $60. So,
hey, Well, okay, I sure will.
Number one, you better hurry up and call. We'll try and time you eight.
Love you too, Holly. Sorry. Holly's leaving
us. Holly is leaving us, and she says, thanks so much, ladies. I appreciate your time and energy. I have to run out for a bit. Sorry. I'll be catching the archives when I get back, though. Love to you, ladies.
Love to her, too.
Yeah.
Love to her.
Okay, so now what were you saying since Nina so rudely interrupted?
I don't know. I'm on my way out with the music. I don't know. My brain is fried. You know what I did, you guys, even though we got a minute left, it's about to go off now, but I just wanted to say, you know, I started feeling better, and so last night, my mistake, sometime during the night, I felt so good and comfortable, I laid on my arm.
Oh no.
When I got up, I thought it was last Wednesday. It was hurting, I think I popped 3 pain pills. I don't even take pain pills. Oh, I feel okay now. But I don't take pain pills like that. But it was, woo. But you know what? Because I've been laying on my back, right? You know, because, of course, I can't lay on my right side. But last night, I guess I was just feeling good and comfortable, went to sleep, and I woke up, and I was on my side, and I was like, oh, my God. But it didn't hurt, right? When I got up to go to the restroom, hello, pain pills.
Here's some medical advice from someone who's medical stuff. You prop like 2 or 3 pillows on a side you don't want to roll over to, and it will prevent you from doing that kind of damage. Okay?
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about that. Well, I should, because now I'm, you know, relaxed and a little bit more comfortable, so yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, other than that, I'm fine. So, okay, ladies, well, I look forward to tomorrow's show with Brenda. That's going to be a tearjerker, heartwarming, thought-provoking show tomorrow.
Yeah. And it was a good show today. It was good. There was good stuff that you went over. It was really nice hearing from Lenny, even though he was mean to me.
You know what he said about you, Brenda? She talks too much. He did.
I'm cool with not talking.
She talks too much. I said, well, I'm not going to say that. I think he was just doing. No, he didn't mean that meanly. I think the man was just overjoyed to be able to talk to his daughter. That's all. You know,
no,
it's just
right.
Like
I'm
us.
Not.
It could be 3 of us and one person be like, oh, my God, I'm so glad to see you. You know, I'm like, okay, so what about the other two, huh?
About them.
We're saying good night now, Brenda.
Good night, Brenda.
I'm not talking.
Good night, Brenda.
We love
you.
See you
next week, everybody. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.